This episode of 11 Point Caller has been brought to you by Gonzo's Royal Flush and Weirdos Like You. Thank you.
It's 11 Point Caller, hosted by J.D. Frog Scout Hansel.
Hello, hello. This is episode 35 of 11 Point Caller, and I'm your host, J.D. Hansel. I'd like to thank all of you listeners for being patient, as I haven't been producing much this summer, but it's a busy time. This is, of course, supposing that I have listeners, but I really have no way of knowing whether I do or not. If you'd like to spread the word about the existence of 11PC, you can refer people to the website, boobersblog.com. You know, I've been thinking about changing the name and domain of the website when it expires in a few months, just because I think it may be confusing people. I named the site after Boober Fraggle back when I thought that I would just be writing pessimistic articles about the Muppets. I later found out that the Muppet Cast would be ending, and that's when I decided to use the website for a podcast. But what do you think? Should I change the website, or would it confuse people more? You can let me know on Facebook by going to facebook.com/JD11PC or tweeting at JD11PC. You're also welcome to shoot me an email with your thoughts at JD11PC@gmail.com. Just to clarify, in each of those, JD11PC is 6 characters long, everything abbreviated with no caps, periods, or spaces. Now that that's out of the way, we're going to be examining Gonzo in this episode, and we'll start our studies, like we normally do on this show, with trivia time. Change in music to signify transition. Oh, I wasn't supposed to read that. In 1979's The Muppet Movie, Gonzo first appears driving his plumbing truck, which he accidentally crashes into Fozzie Studebaker. When you watch that scene, you'll notice Gonzo looking out the window over his left shoulder before the crash, showing that he's totally lost focus. Doesn't it seem strange that the movie never explains what he was looking at that got him driving on the wrong side of the road? Well, drafts of the script explained why he didn't have his eyes on the road. Your trivia question is, why? Or, what was that explanation? Was it A, he saw Big Bird, B, he saw a really big chicken, C, he saw Doc Hopper who looked like a really big chicken, D, he saw Henry Kissinger, or E, he spilled hot sauce on his shirt and wanted to see how long it would take for it to burn a hole in his skin? The correct answer is, he was looking at Doc Hopper who looked like a really big chicken. Max messed up his U-turn, so Hopper spilled his syrup all over himself, and then he grabbed some tissues to try and clean it up, but got the tissues stuck all over him, and then Gonzo drove by and said, "That is really an ugly chicken. Big, but ugly." You'll find this in the script that Jerry Jewell sent to Danny Horn, which is currently on the Muppet Wiki. I'm not making this up.
Max Shoemaker, sip a U-turn!
What's the matter, Doc? Don't you like the complicated kind?
Studies in Handsome History.
So, Gonzo. The Great Gonzo. Gonzo the Great. How do I begin? Let's start with the origins of the puppet. In The Great Santa Claus Switch, a television special made in 1970 for Ed Sullivan, Snarl was the cigar box Frackle who gave the villain, Cosmo Scam, his cigar. He was puppeteered by Daniel Seagren at the time, who would later play Spider-Man on The Electric Company. In 1976, when the Muppet team was making The Muppet Show, Jerry Jewell suggested a character that did crazy acts and stunts, but considered it art. Jim Henson picked the Snarl puppet for the character, and Jack Burns renamed him Gonzo. They knew they wanted him to be a main character, so when he was assigned to Dave Goals, that promoted Dave to principal Muppet performer. Now he just had to develop the character. It seemed hard to do, since the puppet did energetic things but had sad eyes. So Dave, having been a puppet builder, built a new Gonzo puppet for the show's second season. This one's nose was not as blue, and he had moving eyelids, providing a lot of new expression. Over the years, they kept adjusting his eyelids and his suit. He started wearing a variety of different outfits. By the 80s, though, he mostly wore sweater vests, which he still wears often to this day. He did, however, change his outfit to fit the characters he was portraying in The Muppet Christmas Carol and Muppet Treasure Island. Now, this puppet's arms move with rods, like most Muppet's arms do, but his nose can move too. Dave Goles sometimes performs Gonzo at his talks and panels, and in the past he has done a trick with Gonzo's nose ball, which is a ball attached to a string that pulls Gonzo's nose towards his mouth. This was built into the current Gonzo puppet and the one that came before it, but I don't know when the nose ball feature was first added. If you watch enough of the Disney intermission on the Blu-ray disc for the Muppets, you'll probably get bored. But then you'll see Gonzo do his nose trick, which is really cool. Alright, so we've discussed the puppet, and that leaves us with the character. Gonzo has contradicted himself many times when it comes to his parents and his birth, but according to Muppet Babies, he was raised by Granny with the rest of the Muppets. Books and television shows reveal that he was later raised by his grandmother and Aunt Grace, and he has known at least two of his cousins, Gander and Kevin. All of these characters look a lot like Gonzo and seem to have lived on Earth during the times when Gonzo knew them. His love for chickens was established in the Steve Martin episode of The Muppet Show, but he has also been attracted to Miss Piggy, Madeleine Kahn, Big Bird, and Zoe. Now I'm going to do something that I don't normally do on this show, even though I haven't really had a normal episode in a long time. I'm going to propose an idea in the style of the PBS Idea channel on YouTube. Here's an idea. Gonzo is the most human Muppet. Okay, I know that sounds weird, but hear me out. From the beginning of The Muppet Show, it's been clear that Gonzo does things his own way and has different interests than most people. He has his own idea of what art is, he has particular hobbies to keep him entertained, and he is proud of his blue hair. But through the years, as his character developed, it became more clear that he struggles to find his identity. His character really deepened in The Muppet Movie when he sang his song, "I'm Going to Go Back There Someday." He had this longing to fly through space. When Muppets from Space came out, this concept was expanded as he desired to find his home and his people, which he became convinced were from outer space. You see, what seems so human about all of this is what Gonzo says when he comes out of his dream in the beginning of Muppets from Space. "I don't want to be alone." This part of Gonzo, this desire to belong, is finally shown clearly. It's not by any means new to this movie, though, because it's been hinted at all along. When he performed "Won't Somebody Dance With Me," we see him feeling lonely. Before that, when he sang "Nobody" in the first season of The Muppet Show, he was really lonely. And yet, what seems to best define Gonzo is his song "Jamboree," in which he explains that he does feel sad and lonely, but he cheers himself up by making the best of things and having a jamboree. So, it doesn't seem like Gonzo is doing his crazy stunts just for the sake of being artistic, but also, maybe even more so, as a chance to forget the pain of being alone by focusing on the positive and having fun. I mean, I don't know what could be more human than that. I think that's why so many big Muppet fans love Gonzo, because we're all very weird, and many of us don't have any big Muppet fanatic friends, or at least none that live near us, so it makes us feel like we're from another planet sometimes. So what do you think? Do you like Gonzo because he reminds you of yourself? Let me know in a comment, an email, a tweet, whatever you like. My source for all of this info is the source of all knowledge, wisdom, and truth, the Muppet Wiki. Oh, and I know that Muppets from Space really contradicts everything we know about Gonzo's history, so to explain that, here's Gonzo.
My relatives in space, you know, I'm very confused about that. You know, for years I wondered what I was. I had issues. I admit, I had therapy issues on that. And then the movie happened, and I thought, yes, I know who I am now. I know who I am. And then I ran into Frank Oz in New York. That was just a movie. We still don't know who you are.
And now, the closing clips.
Here is Gonzo the Great in a semi-autobiographical extravaganza. Ladies and gentlemen, Gonzo the Great!
Position, but no matter how smooth I talked, they wouldn't listen to the fact that I was a genius. The man say we got all that we can use. Now I got them steadily depressing, going down the line, working at the car wash blues. Well, I should be sitting in an air-conditioned office in a swivel chair. Oh. talking some trash to the secretary, saying,
"Here now, Mama, come on over here."
Instead, I'm stuck here rubbing these fenders with a rag and walking home in soggy old shoes. With them steadily depressing, going down my mess, working at the crowbar's club. You know, I'm man of my ability. He should be smoking on a big cigar. But till I get myself straight, I guess I'll just have to wait in my rubber suit, rubbing these cars. Well, all I can do is just shake my head. You might not believe that it's true. Working at this end of Niagara Falls is an undiscovered Howard Hughes. So baby, don't expect to see me with no double martini in any highbrow society news. Got them steadily depressing, long down my mess, working at the power bar.
Miss Leghorn, would you take a letter? Forget the letter, Miss Leghorn. Let's take the afternoon off.
So, baby, don't expect to see me with no double martini in any highbrow society. Cause I got them steadily depressing, long down my mess, working at the car wash bar. Yeah, I got them steadily depressing, low down my mess, working at the car wash bar.
Camilla, I have written a song for you. Oh, Sinatra or Mick Jagger will probably want to record it, but I want you to hear it from me first.
You alone, you are my one and only chicken steady. And if you leave, I will alone and lonely, sick and ready. And that's a fact. You and I. What a terrific idea for an act. Oh, listen to the rhymes in the chorus. It's very Cole Portery, Camilla. You're sweeter than wine or vanilla, Camilla. Come lie beneath this tree, it's a willa, Camilla. Camilla. The night it grows stella, stella, Camilla. You're prettier by far than Godzilla, Camilla.
Who are you?
Huh? Me?
Wow! Perfection incarnate! Huh? Wow! Statuesque, and yet still paltry in every sense. You have that one thing lacking in chickens. Bulk.
I'm so confused.
You are so huge.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This evening, I will perform a feat of lunatic daring. Before your very eyes, I will ride this motorcycle up this ramp and jump directly into that box, landing safely between those two elderly gentlemen.
What?
Oh, I can assure you, you'll be in no danger.
You're right.
We'll be in Chicago.
For their own safety, while they were dozing, I took the precaution of chaining them to their chairs. On my mark. Get set. Go.
For the second time this evening, the great Gonzo will attempt a motorcycle jump off of this stage into that box up there, landing safely between those two elderly gentlemen.
We're not afraid. We know Gonzo.
If at first you don't succeed, fail, fail again.
And so here he is now, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm ready, Kermit.
Yeah, I'm introducing you.
Introduce fast. I'm really ready.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the great Gonzo.
There. That was easy, wasn't it?
This looks familiar, vaguely familiar, almost unreal yet. It's too soon to feel yet, close to my soul, and yet so far away. I'm going to go back there someday. Sun rises, night falls, sometimes the sky calls. Is that a song there? And do I belong there? I've never been there, but I know the way. I'm going to go back there someday. More fun to share. We'll both be completely at home in midair. We're flying, not walking, on featherless wings. We can hold on to love like invisible strings. Just met, part heaven, part space, or have I found my place? You can't just visit, but I plan to stay. I'm going to go back there someday. I'm going to go back there someday. Lonely. Yeah, I get lonely. Sad. Whew, I know sad. But you do what you can with the things that you see to make life a jamboree. I see cows playing cellos with bananas where their horns should be. And I see flags being waved by ducks in buckets and pigs drinking lemon tea. Jamboree!
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 Find where you hide and look inside and you got a jamboree. All you see are walls. If you get your news from the scuffs on your shoes, then that won't help at all. Cause you gotta see penguins throwing popcorn, chickens on a well-dressed moose. Hi, girls! And you gotta see rats floating by on pink balloons and fuzzy things on the loose. Jamboree!
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 Find where you hide and look inside and
you got a jamboree.
Well, you go run from thunder and you stay away from rain. But I'll be looking at the colors in the puddles to see my jamboree.
Jamboree!
Chocolate cakes!
Jamboree!
Bells on snakes! Some people give up, some people get out, but me, woo-hoo-hoo, I'm a jamboree!
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 Jamboree, 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 jamboree.
Do
All right, everyone, thanks for listening, and remember, waka waka, wubba wubba, and weeba weeba.
There's certainly none in this theater.
Oh no! Deathnator!
Who?
Stay tuned for part two when the swine trick lands on Coosbane and we learn the true identity of this arch fiend.
The world will never...